Welcome to Healing with Worth, a podcast dedicated to healthy recovery and instilling hope in the wake of betrayal trauma. We are women who have experienced this intimately and want to offer hope to other women. While we may interview professionals on the show, the content should not be taken as therapeutic advice and is not meant to replace therapeutic healing. If you would like to join one of our free online Worth groups to help with your betrayal trauma, you may find us at healingwithworth.org. Welcome to Healing with Worth. We're your hosts, Naomi and Janine, and today we have a guest with us. His name is Dallin Broon, and he specializes in mindfulness-based stress reduction. We are so excited to have him here. He is a teacher in Linden, Utah. Dallin has traveled all over the world attending mindfulness retreats and receiving training from the very best. And with his training, he's helped individuals use mindfulness to overcome trauma, addiction, stress, depression, and a variety of other mental health issues. So welcome, Dallin. We're so glad that you're here.
It's an honor to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
So Dallin, can you share with our audience a little bit about your journey in coming to help others use mindfulness?
Yeah, so like Naomi was saying, I have been on this mindfulness journey, and what initially brought me there, I think, is a really similar circumstances of maybe what are bringing your listeners to this podcast, and that was I wasn't feeling good. And I didn't want to admit it. I was early in my university career, and I just eventually found myself in the counseling center asking for help, and they prescribed it to me. Mindfulness was, at the time, pretty new for Brigham Young University, for any university to be offering mindfulness, but I was lucky. I hit this first wave, and I was pretty skeptical as to what this was and how it could help, and I stuck with it for about 3 or 4 years at BYU before I realized I wanted to pursue it on a deeper level personally and also professionally. So then I enrolled. At the time, it was the only university offering mindfulness training, and it was UMass Medical School all the way across the continent. So I went there for about a couple years, and most of the curriculum I completed outside of the US. And these are like mindfulness, they're mostly ancient monasteries and temples that are still practicing what we would call mindfulness today. I got to bounce all over the globe for that process, and it was really amazing. And the first job I landed was a trauma recovery center in Linden. And Dr. Kevin Skinner is considered one of the pioneers of the field. So most of my career teaching mindfulness are people in a situation where usually trauma is the central issue. And so it's been very special to work with these individuals. Janine had mentioned that she actually had some experience in some of those workshops that Dr. Skinner's clinic put on. So that is my background. And here we are today talking about how mindfulness can help with trauma.
I'm curious as to whether or not BYU still continues the mindfulness program.
Yeah, no, they do. In fact, it is surprising, being a private religious institution, that they would adopt such a secular form of healing that has very spiritual roots. So yeah, no, they were ahead of the curve on that, and they still maintain a mindfulness center. I actually have a job at Utah Valley University, which is just down the street from BYU, teaching in their mindfulness program. And that just goes to show you that most universities now have adopted some form of mindfulness intervention for their wellness center, their psychological counseling services. So big secular institutions like hospitals, universities, clinics are now adopting mindfulness and integrating it into their programs.
You've traveled all over the world, and I'm curious to know kind of how each training has differed or is the same. Like, what differentiates training at maybe a university versus a monastery?
Yes, that's a really good question. And in fact, we can lump in what would mindfulness look like doing it in general or doing it for trauma. it might feel a little confusing when you start out seeing like the Zen tradition in all black, cross-legged on their floor with a certain posture and chanting in different languages. And then, hop across the globe to Vietnam, where there's a lot of walking meditation and it's very different. And then going to India, where they might be singing, the importation of these very disparate traditions practicing mindfulness into primarily the United States and Western Europe, but imported through science, through like mostly academic institutions like the one I went to. They sort of filtered some of those like ritualized, they might even call them less necessary traditions, and sort of boiled the essence down to mindfulness. So we live in a very fortuitous time to practice mindfulness where we don't have to adopt a certain methodology, so to speak.
Okay, so help us, Dallin, to understand or describe for us or define mindfulness. What exactly is it?
The essence of mindfulness can be summarized pretty easily, pretty simplistically, and that is necessary element number one. We're going to see what it feels like to show up, to know that we're conscious, to be present. You hear a lot of synonyms along that. And then element number two, we're going to see what it feels like to relax control, to relax management, to see what it feels like to kind of just be. So the fruits of these two elements of mindfulness, this first one, showing up, you wake up to your life rather than just subject yourself to like fight or flight primal mechanisms. We're gonna really be there. But then this other quality we're cultivating over time is compassion, a sort of understanding about what's going on, a sort of softness around what's happening. That might be a functional definition of mindfulness, if you can just remember those two very simple elements. Now, whether you want to do that while you're dancing or chanting or walking in nature, or really even folding the laundry, it's up to you. Hopefully that answers your question. And by the way, these principles aren't just like, something monks discovered and are hidden in some dusty textbook. Like, you go into mindfulness mode quite naturally every day of your life. And it's usually when you're in the presence of something that feels safe and that you enjoy. Like, it's pretty easy to be mindful when you're playing with your grandkids or when you're playing with your favorite pet. Mindfulness is very natural. But see, we reserve that very natural mode for a small slice of the pie of our experience. And the rest, we kind of, without some kind of like nudge, often will default to defense mechanisms that may not be healthy or helpful.
Can you maybe elaborate a little bit on that?
Trauma is a really, really good example of when we can just settle on the very simple definition that our boundaries of safety that every being has, when those are crossed, are violated, even in a minor way. But usually, when we use the word trauma, it's a major breach of our sense of safety. Every fiber of our body and brains are evolved for survival. And so, safety is something, it's not just some intellectual concept, it's in our bones. And so when trauma occurs, there are so many mechanisms just that come online to help resolve the situation, to help solve what's happened to us. All of those mechanisms are well intended. It's quite normal for someone who's experienced trauma to have residual effects. It's often in the form of a re-traumatizing. The initial trauma, it's like a major earthquake, and then there are aftershocks. I think we can all agree it's not fun. It doesn't feel good. It feels the opposite of good to feel unsafe, right?
Yeah, you described it really well. It's a great
And then the
description.
occasional earthquakes that come around again.
Yeah, exactly.
Where does one begin to really practice a mindful life when our realities just seem so overwhelming to deal with. Our lives seem so out of control, so chaotic. And in our chaotic worlds, there are many times when I know for Naomi and I, we have had real struggle with turning off the ruminating thoughts and noise in our head, especially around our future, just even around being able to provide safety for ourselves sometimes. So what does a mindful practice look like when these constant ruminating thoughts are present, especially when we're trying to go to bed, like when we're trying to go to sleep? These thoughts can be really, really intense. What do you recommend in these kind of situations?
It's so normal for the victim of trauma to experience what we could call rumination or spiraling. And these are these sort of vicious thought patterns. These thought patterns that also have some control mechanisms on the way we're feeling too. So I was diagnosed with anxiety, chronic anxiety. When I started practicing mindfulness, I didn't even know that about my own experience. So your defense mechanism can be the walls around that get built so strong, you don't even know what's happened or what is happening. My initial journey was slowly recognizing, oh my gosh, yes, wow, this is what it feels like. This is what it's feeling like. And then starting to understand maybe causes, and then maybe understanding what's helpful and what's not helpful. And I'm charting a long-term course here. On your first experience with mindfulness, is probably not going to experience quite this arc, but you know, over time, there became a sort of tolerance and understanding. So that's a long-term path. In the short run, it's extremely helpful. I found it vital to my recovery.
Had you experienced trauma in your life and just did not recognize it as trauma?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't think any of us can go unscathed. It's just part of the fine print of being a human being. We have difficult moments. I'm just giving an affirmative yes for all of humanity there. And that's actually, it's an important thing, I think, to recognize, is that what this is not is the elimination of pain. It's not you getting into a wrestling match and just my mindfulness muscles are going to pound out all the difficulties in my life. I think there can be a vast reduction in unnecessary difficulties and pain, but you know, the elimination just means you're no longer a human being. So it's important for us to recognize and reduce, but it's also important for us to realize what is natural, what is normal, and learn to live with what is.
Well, Dallin, thank you so much for just kind of giving us a rundown of what mindfulness is and what it's not and helping dig into it a little bit more. We look forward to the next episode where we will do this practice with you. So to our listeners, thank you for listening and stay tuned. Next week, we will pick it back up with Dallin and we will dive into an experience of mindfulness as he walks us through a guided meditation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us this week on Healing with Worth. Make sure to visit our website, healingwithworth.org, if you would like to enroll in an online therapist-led support group. We'll see you next time.